today, we are at chapter 21, page 745. Now, let's say the meditator was meditating, practicing Vipassana meditation, and up till now he has reached the knowledge of seeing rise and fall. So first he gets momentary concentration, and after that he came to see the mind and matter clearly, and then he saw the causes of mind and matter, and next he contemplates on the three characteristics of mental and physical phenomena by the use of comprehending by groups, which is called inferential vipassana. And then he tried to see the rising and falling of mental and physical phenomena, or rising and falling of the things he observes. His knowledge of vipassana has somewhat developed, and at that moment he was troubled by these 10 imperfections of vipassana, or 10 impediments, like illumination, joy, happiness, tranquility, and so on. And they are called impediments or obstacles of vipassana, because if he thinks that they are the indication of the enlightenment, then he will not practice anymore, and so he will not get any more progress. So they are impediments or obstacles to the progress in vipassana, and so he has to surmount them. So he has to regard them as just passing phenomena. So he has to stick to the contemplation on the rising and falling of mental and physical phenomena. So the previous chapter ends with his being able to decide which is the right path and which is not the right path. That means these 10 impediments are not the right path, and not to be pleased with them, not to retain them, but the contemplation on the rising and fall is the right path. So his contemplation of rise and fall has not finished yet. He was disturbed by these 10 impediments. Now free from impediments, he must go on. So today's chapter, he will go on first practicing contemplation on rise and fall again. So contemplation of rise and fall, there are two parts in contemplation of rise and fall. The immature stage and mature stage, we can call it. So first he practices contemplation of rise and fall, and it is not very matured, but at that point he was disturbed with these 10 impediments. So now he has cleared those impediments, and so he's going to practice more. So insight reaches its culmination with the 8 knowledges, and knowledge in conformity with truth is 9th. So altogether, let's say there are 9 knowledges, 9 vipassana knowledges. And these are what is called purification by knowledge and vision of the way. Until the end of the last chapter, that is purification, by knowledge and vision of what is the path and what is not the path. So that purification he has reached. And so the next purification is called purification by knowledge and vision of the way. And this stage of purity will consist of many stages of vipassana knowledge. So here we have 9. And the 8 should be understood as follows. Knowledge of contemplation of rise and fall, which is insight free from imperfections and steady on its course, that is, which is more mature. And 2, knowledge of contemplation of dissolution. 3, knowledge of appearance as terror. 4, knowledge of contemplation of danger. 5, knowledge of contemplation of dispassion. 6, knowledge of desire for deliverance, or desire to get free from it. And 7, knowledge of contemplation of reflection, something like that. And 8, knowledge of equanimity about formations. So these stages of knowledge he will get to one after another. Now, knowledge in conformity with truth as 9th is the term for conformity. It will become clear later. So one who wants to perfect this should make these kinds of knowledge his task, starting with knowledge of rise and fall free from imperfection. So he has to practice knowledge of rise and fall, or contemplation of of rise and fall again. Now, why does he again pursue knowledge of rise and fall? Why has he to do this knowledge of rise and fall again? To observe the 3 characteristics. Now, he has been observing 3 characteristics, but his observation of 3 characteristics is not yet strong enough. So in order to make that observation strong, he has to practice observing 3 characteristics again. So the knowledge of rise and fall already dealt with being disabled by the 10 imperfections. They are troubled by the 10 imperfections or obstacles. I was not capable of observing the 3 characteristics in their true nature. But once free from imperfections, it is able to do so. So he should pursue it again here in order to observe the characteristics. So he practiced contemplation of rise and fall again. Or when he practices meditation, he sees the rising and falling of the rising and disappearing of things, rising and disappearing of what he observes at the present moment. And then the book explains 3 characteristics, and when they fail to become apparent, for what reason? So first, the characteristics fail to become apparent when something is not given attention, and so something conceals them. What is that? Firstly, the characteristic of impermanence does not become apparent because when rise and fall are not given attention, it is concealed by continuity. Because it is concealed by continuity, we cannot see the impermanence of things. Because we cannot get rid of this notion of continuity, and so we are unable to see the impermanence of things. And the impermanence is concealed by continuity to us because we do not see the rising and fall of things. The second characteristic of pain does not become apparent. That means we are unable to see it because when continuous oppression is not given attention, when you do not concentrate on your being oppressed by rising and falling continuously, it is concealed by the postures. That means you change from one posture to another very often. So when you change from one posture to another, the posture, the next posture is said to what you call be unable to conceal, unable to unable to make known the pain. That means when you have a pain, a little pain, then you change the posture. That is when you are not meditating, especially. So you sit for some time, and if there is a pain or some inconvenience, then you change the way you change that. So when you change, the pain is gone. So the pain does not become clear apparent because we change postures every now and then. And that is because we fail to see that mental and physical phenomena is always oppressed by arising and disappearing. So when you see the arising and disappearing, and when you see that it is painful, then, and also when we sit in one posture for some time, then we will come to see that it is really painful, that there is suffering always. Now, the third characteristic is not self. It does not become apparent because when resolution into the various elements is not given attention, that means when we do not see the mental and physical phenomena in bits or in elements, in different components, there is the notion of compactness. So we see the things are compact, they are put together, or they are held together by something. So that the solution into various elements we do not give attention, so that it is conceived by compactness. Since it is conceived by compactness, and we fail to analyze them into their components, we fail to see the third characteristic of anatta, or not self. However, when continuity is disrupted by discerning rise and fall, so when you practice meditation and you really see the rise and fall of things, then the continuity is disrupted. Continuity is broken for you. So when continuity is broken, then the characteristic of impermanence becomes clear. And when the postures are exposed by attention to continuous oppression, the characteristic of pain becomes apparent in its true nature. And there's an explanation down in the footnote, we will read it later. When the resolution of the compact is affected by resolution into elements, so when we break them down into pieces, the characteristic of not-self becomes apparent in its true nature. So if we want to see the three characteristics, what we have to do is see the rise and fall of things, and see the perpetual oppression by rise and fall. And also we have to see, or we have to break everything down into the component elements. Now, in the footnote, the last paragraph, commenting on this Visuddhimagga paragraph, BM means a common, the sub-commentary says, when continuity is disrupted means when continuity is exposed by observing the perpetual otherness of state, because states are different at every moment. So one state at this moment is not the same at the next moment. So perpetual otherness of states as they go on occurring in succession. For it is not through the connectedness of states and so on. And that sentence is not so good. So what we should understand is that a person who rightly observes the rise and fall, who really sees the rise and fall, to such a person, these mental and physical states do not manifest in a state of connectedness. Because he is seeing things rising and falling, rising and falling. That means every moment there is a new thing coming up and then disappear, and then at the next moment another new thing appears and so on. So when he is seeing the rise and fall of things, then states do not manifest to him in a state of connectedness. They appear to him as bit by bit. You know, disconnectedness, like iron darts, that means the spikes here and there, and not connected as a whole. Therefore, the characteristic of impermanence becomes very apparent to him who pays attention to or who sees the rise and fall clearly. And when the postures are exposed, means when the concealment of the pain that is actually inherent in the postures is exposed. For when pain arises in a posture, the next posture adopted removes the pain, as it were, concealing it. That means making pain appear so that we do not see it, we do not realize that it is painful. But once it is correctly known how the pain in any posture is shifted by substituting another posture for that one, then the concealment of the pain that is in them is exposed, because it has become evident that formations are being incessantly overwhelmed or oppressed by pain. Resolution of the compact is effected by resolving what appears compact in this way. The earth element is one, the water element is another, etc. So this is earth element, this is water element, this is fire element, and so on. And this is contact, this is feeling, this is perception, and so on. When the resolution of the compact is affected, means that what is compact as a mass and what is compact as a function, that means as to function, and what is compact as to object has been analyzed. So there are three kinds of compactness here. Compact as to a mass, compact as to function, and compact as to object. For when material and immaterial states have arisen mutually steadying each other, that means mutually supporting each other, mentality and materiality, for example, then owing to misinterpreting that as a unity, compactness of mass is assumed through failure to subject formations to pressure. Now, failure to subject formations to pressure means failure to contemplate on the formations. The Pali word used, here is maddana. Maddana means pressing, or what do you call being like this, kneading, right? Something like kneading the door or something like that. So the Pali word used is pressing or whatever. So he translated as pressure here. But it is to be understood as contemplating. One who has pressed the formations means one who has contemplated on the formations. So we can just say that of mass is assumed through failure to contemplate on the formations. So when we fail to contemplate on the formations, contemplate on them as impermanent and so on, and likewise compactness of function is assumed when, although definite differences exist in such and such states functions, they are taken as one. Now, when we see something, the eye has one function, and seeing consciousness is another function, and what is seen has yet another function. So they have different functions, and they are doing their functions at that moment. But when we see something, we don't see them as different functions. We just see them. We think that we see with the physical eye and also with the seeing consciousness. So we do not. That means if we pay no attention, if we do not practice meditation, we see them as a whole, the functions. We don't see that, and it is a function of the eye. It is a function of seeing consciousness and so on. So when we see them, these functions as a whole, then it is the compact as to function. And then the next one is compact as to objects. That means, say, we at one time we see a visible object, at another time we hear an audible object, and yet another time we smell some scent or some smell. Although taking different objects, the taking of different consciousness different objects by consciousness is different, but we take it to be just one and the same thing. The same consciousness which we think that the same consciousness which sees hears, and the same consciousness which hears smells and so on. It is we think that it is the same consciousness. We have the same consciousness from the beginning of our life until today, something like that. So when we take it like that, it is called compactness with regard to objects. But when we try to see them one by one, that is breaking them down into their respective elements, the compactness is gone, and so there can be no misinterpretation as a single unit. But when they are seen after resolving them by means of knowledge into these elements, they disintegrate like froth subjected to compression by the hand. They are mere states occurring due to conditions and void. In this way, the characteristic of not-self becomes more evident. So here we should understand that what conceals the three characteristics and feeling what they are concealed. So if we fail to see the rise and fall, then the continuity will conceal the impermanence. If we fail to see the make clear the postures, then we'll fail to see the oppression, perpetual oppression, and so we'll fail to see the second nature. And if we cannot break them down into the elements, then the compactness will conceal them, and so we will not be able to see them as just the dharmas, just the phenomena going on. And with in connection with this, the father gave us the information on what is permanent, what it is we call permanent, impermanent, and what is the characteristic of permanence, or what is the mark to decide something is impermanent. What is painful, what is the characteristic of pain, and what is not self, and what is characteristic of not self. Now the answer is, the five aggregates are the impermanent. The five aggregates are what we call impermanent. Because when we say it is impermanent, we mean five aggregates. Because there are five aggregates in the world, and so these five aggregates have a beginning and an end, and so they are impermanent. Why are they impermanent? Because they rise and fall and change. That is one mark. Or because of their non-existence after having been. No. So, because they rise and fall and change, so they are impermanent. And because they did not exist, they do not exist after coming into being. Yes, after coming into being. That means after coming into being, immediately after coming into being, they disappear. So since they disappear after coming into being, they are impermanent. So there are two characteristics, or two marks given here. One is because they rise and fall and change, so they are impermanent. The other is they disappear after coming into being. That's why they are impermanent. Rise and fall and change are the characteristic of impermanence. Or mood alteration. That is very awkward. That means just a particular mode. In other words, non-existence after having been is the characteristic of impermanence. So we should say a particular mode, which is known as non-existence after having been, is the characteristic of impermanence. The same five aggregates are painful. So what is dukkha, the five aggregates? Because of the words, what is impermanent is painful. Why? Because of continuous oppression. So they are always oppressed by rising and falling, rising and falling. The mode of being continuously oppressed is the characteristic of pain. So if we want to say something is painful, then we have to see whether it is always oppressed by rising and disappearing. Those same five aggregates are not self because of the words, what is painful is not self. Why? Because there is no exercising of power over them. The mode of insusceptibility to the exercise of power is the characteristic of not self. So we have no power over them. They just, by their own nature, they just arise and disappear, and we cannot make them not disappear after they have arisen. So we have no exercise of power over them, and that is the characteristic of not self. The meditator observes all this in its true nature with the knowledge of the contemplation of rise and fall. In other words, with insight free from imperfections and steady on its course. So when he sees rise and fall clearly and sees these three characteristics also clearly, then he that is only possible when he has overcome the imperfections of vipassana, and his meditation is steady on its course. Now, let us read the footnote number 4. These modes, that is the three characteristics, are not included in the aggregates because they are states without individual essence. They are just mark or signs of the aggregates. That is why the characteristics are not included in the aggregates. And they are not separate from the aggregates because they are unapprehendable without the aggregates. Because they are the arising and disappearing of aggregates. So without the aggregates, we do not see arising and disappearing at all. So although they are different from the five aggregates, they cannot be apprehended, they cannot be known without the five aggregates. But they should be understood as appropriate conceptual differences. Again, unsatisfactory translation. Panyati visesa. Panyati visesa means particular concepts. They are particular appropriate concepts. See? That means the characteristic of impermanence, characteristic of pain, characteristic of not self. They are themselves concepts, because they do not have their own individual essence. They are just the marks or signs of the impermanent, the painful, and not-self five aggregates. So, instead of saying appropriate conceptual differences, we should say just particular appropriate concepts. There are reasons for differentiation in the explaining of dangers and the five aggregates, and which are allowable by common usage in respect of the five aggregates. Now, next paragraph, knowledge of contemplation of dissolution. Now, after a yogi observed in this way, repeatedly examines and investigates material and immaterial states to see that they are impermanent, painful, and not self, then if his knowledge works keenly, formations quickly become apparent. That means his knowledge of arising and falling becomes stronger and stronger. So as it gets stronger, the formations become apparent more and more quickly. And his knowledge also becomes more and more keen. Once his knowledge works keenly and formations quickly become apparent, he no longer extends his mindfulness to their arising or presence or occurrence or sign, but brings it to bear only on their cessation as destruction, fall, and breaking up. That means his knowledge becomes keener and keener. So when knowledge becomes keener and keener, the formations appear to him more quickly. Because formations rise and fall at their own speed. Not that formations rise and fall slowly, and now they rise and fall quickly. They are rising and falling at their own pace. But before his mind becomes mature or strong, and his knowledge becomes strong, his seeing of these formations is not so swift. But now his knowledge or his mind is very, very keen, and so he can see formations very quickly. Now when formations come and go very quickly, in fact he cannot see the beginning, the middle, and all three phases of their existence clearly, because they are going past so fast that what he notices is just they are disappearing. It is like you are standing on the side of a freeway and the car is going past you in very high speed. So what you notice is just one car disappearing, another car disappearing. Not the beginning of the cars, but just the disappearing of them. So something like that, when your mind becomes, knowledge becomes stronger and stronger, you see the formations come and go quickly and very quickly. And when you can see them quickly, then you see only the disappearing of them, not the arising, or not their sign means, you see the word sign there? Yeah. That means you will lose seeing forms and shapes before you reach this stage. So when you observe things, you observe with these shapes and forms. So when you're aware of the breath, you see the breath as something, say, going in and out, something like a pencil or something like a rod. And when you see concentrate on the movement of the abdomen, you see the abdomen, the shape and form of the abdomen, along with the movement. But when you reach this stage, you no longer see the form or shape. You just see the pure phenomena. So sometimes yogis will think that they have lost meditation altogether, because formerly they are seeing things in connection with the shape and form, and now they don't see any shape and form, and so they think that they have lost meditation or lost the object altogether. But actually it is not the case. It is just losing the signs or shapes or forms. And so a yogi is able to take the ultimate reality as object of his meditation, not mixed with concepts. Before he reaches that stage, his understanding is mixed with concepts. He understands mental and physical phenomena mixed with concepts. Now when he reaches this stage, he is able to see mental and physical phenomena purely and not mixed with shape or form or whatever the concepts. So he sees only the falling or the disappearance of things at this stage, and this is called knowledge of contemplation of dissolution. When insight knowledge has arisen in him in this way, so that he sees how the field of formation Having arisen thus, ceases thus, it is called contemplation of dissolution at that stage. With reference to which it is said. So the following is a quotation from one of the books, and then explanation of that quotation. Now, the style in the quotations, it is from Patisamvita Magga, is a little different from the style in other books, like Sota Pitaka. Sometimes, it is often not so easy to understand at the Sota passages. So, the commentator or the author had to explain them in detail. Now, let's see what. So we may skip some passages, some paragraphs, and then paragraph 14. Let's go to there. He contemplates anupasati. Now, the word anupasati is translated as he contemplates here, and it is commented upon or explained by he sees always accordingly. Accordingly, because it is commented upon as anupasati. Now, anupasati means he sees more or he sees much, not always accordingly. He sees more or he sees much, and he sees much means he sees again and again in various modes. So that is what is meant. So he contemplates only on the disappearing of what he observes or what of the mental and physical phenomena. Now, progressing in this way, paragraph 18, he relinquishes, he does not grasp what is meant. What is meant is that this contemplation of impermanence, etc., is also called both relinquishment as giving up and relinquishment as entering into, because by substitution of opposite qualities it gives up defilements along with aggregate producing karma formations. Now, by substitution of opposite qualities, that means temporary abandonment, it gives up defilements along with aggregate producing karma formations, and because by seeing the unsatisfactoriness of what is formed, it also enters into by inclining towards Nibbana, which is the opposite of the form. So he relinquishes everything and he does not grasp at anything. And here, the vipassana. Now, there are three kinds of abandonment. I hope you remember these three. Momentary abandonment, temporary abandonment, and let's say absolute abandonment. Now, momentary abandonment means substituting defilements with wholesome states. Now, at the moment of studying, at the moment of taking the class, then you do not have mental defilements like loba, attachment or hatred and anger or whatever. And they are replaced by the understanding. But that is momentary. But if there is some conditions for anger to arise, then it will arise. So he relinquishes means the vipassana meditation is able to abandon mental defilements by way of substitution of opposite qualities. That means momentarily abandon, it can momentarily abandon mental defilements. Now, there is another abandonment called what? Temporary defilement. That means it lasts longer than, the abandonment lasts longer than the momentary abandonment. That means something like keep those defilements at bay for a longer period of time. Now, when you practice vipassana meditation, say you observe something, and when you see it clearly and when you see that it arises and disappears, you are able to get rid of mental defilements with regard to that object. Now, when you have practiced meditation and when you have gained experience, then at that moment, you can also abandon defilements with regard to those which you do not observe. Just as you can abandon abandon mental defilements with regard to objects you observe, so you are able to abandon mental defilements with regard to those that you do not observe. They still remain, say, suppressed or something like that. So that is what is called the temporary abandonment by vipassana meditation. So these two vipassana can achieve. But the absolute abandonment comes only at the moment of enlightenment. So the bhikkhu who possesses that contemplation gives up defilements and enters into nirvana in the way stated. He does not grasp or cling to defilements by causing rebirth, nor does he grasp a formed object through failing to see its unsatisfactoriness. Hence, it was said, he relinquishes, he does not grasp. And then other things. Now, this is the contemplation of dissolution, right? So when he no longer, paragraph 27, when he no longer vacillates and so constantly bears in mind that the unseized will also cease, the undissolved will also dissolve, then he disregards the arising presence, occurrence and sign of all formations which keep on breaking up, like fragile pottery being smashed, like fine dust being dispersed, like sesame seeds being roasted, and he sees only their break up. Just as a man with eyes standing on the bank of a pond or on the bank of a river during heavy rain would see large bubbles appearing on the surface of the water and breaking up as soon as they appeared, so too he sees how formations break up all the time. So the Blessed One said of such a meditator, and he who looks upon the world as one who looks upon a bubble, as one who looks upon a mirage, is out of sight of death, the king. When he constantly sees that all formations thus break up all the time, then contemplation of dissolution grows strong in him, bringing 8 advantages, which are these. So, a person who has reached this stage of knowledge get these 8 advantages. Abandoning of false view. Well, the bracket is the other way. The abandoning of false view of becoming, giving up attachment to life, constant application, that means always practicing, a purified livelihood, no more anxiety or no more concern, absence of fear, acquisition of patience and gentleness, and conquest of aversion and sensual delight. That means neither glad nor sad. Hence the ancient said, one seeing these 8 perfect qualities, he comprehends formations constantly, seeing break up in order to attain the deathless, like the sage with burning turban. Actually, what the verse says is, the sage, on seeing these 8 perfect qualities, comprehends formations constantly, seeing breaking up in order to attain the deathless, like a man whose clothes or head are burning. It is strange that all translators misunderstood the passage here. The Pali word used is cela and sila. Cela, C-E-L-A. Cela means just a cloth or cloak, not necessarily a turban. So there are two similes. A man whose clothes are on fire, or a man whose head is on fire. So if your clothes are on fire, you don't do any other thing, but you try to put the fire out. And also if your head is burning, then you try to what you call, extinguish burning in the head. You don't do any other thing. So a person with clothes or head burning or something like that. And the reference is given here, see Sanyukta Nikaya 440. So I read that passage, not this verse, but the passage referred to there, and I read the English translations, and I saw there also turban, turban and head. But actually, the word chila does not mean a turban, but just a clothes or cloth. Now this is the knowledge of dissolution. The knowledge of appearance of chela. After you see, after the yogi sees the disappearance of things, or when he sees that things